A Place by the Fire. Written by Bread and Roses. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, The Hands of the Emperor by Victoria Goddard. And The Nine World Series by Victoria Goddard. Not rated, no archive warnings apply. Relationships, Artoran Damara / Cleofer Kip Mdong. Artoran Damara and Gaudi Vanwen. Gaudinius Sio Vanwen lifted his head from his report and stared at the page in momentary incomprehension. "From the tower?" he asked. "Yes, sir. His Radiancy requests your presence." Gaudi had, in the last year, become more accustomed to interaction with the rulers of the world than he had ever expected. During the regency, he and his friends among the secretariat had worked closely with a viceroy, which was not at all the same as working with Uncle Kip, or with the Lord Chancellor, so much that he kept their personas separate in his head without effort. And he had had the exhilarating honor of briefing Lady Aurelia, soon to be crowned Lord Magus, several times in the recent days. She was a brilliant, incisive, unorthodox thinker whose questions kept him on his toes and digging through the library late at night. But neither of those were comparable to a summons from the sun on Earth. "Sio Vanwen," the page prompted in response to his silence. "The message says you're to attend his Radiancy as soon as possible." "No topic, no time to prepare. Right." Gaudi ran a nervous hand through his hair, picked up his writing case, and went. As Gaudi climbed the stairs, he wondered what awaited him. Eldo had reported that his Radiancy's changed appearance, hair, was very minor in comparison to his changed demeanor. "He is much less formal," Eldo had said wonderingly to him and Tully. "He's livelier? He laughs more. Expresses surprise or annoyance more often. He almost never uses the formal plural anymore, unless it's before the court. It's rather disconcerting." Gaudi passed through the increasingly grand antechambers, the knot of remembered humiliation in his belly growing tighter as he drew closer to where the sun on Earth waited. The only time he had been here before, he had... Well, he thought of Lord Mdong. No, Uncle Kip. Sinking into his chair in a panic. Of his Radiancy's cool tone asking his reasons for the interruption. For terrifying Uncle Kip. He had not impressed his Radiancy that day, and although he had spent time in the presence since, in Gorjo City, he felt that last visit hanging over him. His Radiancy was pacing the study when he was announced. He hastened toward Gaudi from the far end of the room, gesturing him up from his obeisance at once. "Sio Vanwen, join me on the terrace. Refreshments," he added to Kanju, who was hovering in the doorway. Gaudi, stunned, barely remembered to follow his Radiancy. This was utterly unheard of for a member of the service, for anyone but, well, Lord Mdong. Eldo had reported being offered refreshments, as had Zaul. But he was not here as his Radiancy's secretary, and to be invited to sit on the terrace like a guest? What in the world was this about? "My lord," he said, and took the seat to which his Radiancy gestured him. He clasped his hands around his writing case, sat up straight, and tried to look attentive. His Radiancy laughed, rich and startling. "Come now, Sio Vanwen. You are not in any kind of trouble. Please don't look like that." Gaudi flushed up to his hairline, but was nonetheless able to take a full breath for the first time since entering the apartments. "I am glad to hear it, my lord." "You do look so like Kip when he was younger. It takes me back." Gaudi didn't know what to say in response, but settled for, "Thank you, my lord." His Radiancy took a breath and then let it out. He had turned his gaze away from Gaudi to the horizon. He was silent for several beats, and Gaudi, with astonishment, realized that he was having difficulty beginning the conversation. The idea of his Radiancy being uncertain around him was unfathomable, but so it seemed. "Sio Vanwen," his Radiancy finally said, still looking over the balcony at the distant fens. There are some questions I wish to ask you regarding cultural practices and customs of the Vangavieve. Having a subject, Gaudi felt the slightest bit less unmoored. My lord, I will of course answer them to the best of my ability. I have not, however, made a study of anthropology, and I fear my knowledge is incomplete. And why, he wondered, wouldn't His Radiancy simply ask Lord Mdang? That is no matter. I am certain you can answer without special study. Please tell me, His Radiancy said firmly, whatever you can of Islander marriage customs. For a long moment, Gaudi's mind went blank. Why would His Radiancy possibly want to know about weddings? Then he mentally shook himself, clasped his hands together in the standard position for a report, and attempted to synthesize dozens of childhood and adult memories for filial comprehension. My lord, as you may know, society in the Vangavieve is organized around our extended families. Weddings are occasions when one person joins the family of their betrothed, and the couple take their place in that family together. In general, when a man marries a woman, he joins her family and takes her name. There are, of course, exceptions. My own parents are one such example. How did that come about? His Radiancy asked. They discussed it, my lord, Gaudi said, slightly puzzled by the question. There is no obligation to follow the default, and in the case of my parents, they decided it was more important to continue the Van Wen line, which was very small in that generation, than to add to the Mdangs, who needed no help. His Radiancy smiled at that. Such discussions are necessary for any couple where both or neither is a woman. Generally, they consider the size of the family, where they live, if either person is estranged from their family, whether either has already made a deep study of their family's dances. There are many factors to consider. And when the wedding is announced, the form of the announcement lets everyone know who is joining whose family.
Is the wedding announced in writing, generally?
Yes, my lord, Gaudi answered. Formal invitations are unusual unless to specifically invite someone from outside the ring. Announcements are usually placed in the local news, and gossip does the rest. At His Radiancy's expression of surprise, Gaudi could not help but smile. Her weddings are almost invariably held out of doors, and your lordship may recall that we are not a formal people. The ceremony is generally open to anyone who wishes to attend. They were briefly interrupted by Kanju bringing tea and biscuits. Gaudi took the cup of tea with careful awe, enjoying the floral aroma. He sipped at it cautiously, appreciating both the taste and the moment to gather his thoughts. His Radiancy said,
"Tell me about the ceremony involved. Are there specific words and actions the couple must perform?"
This was a more complicated question to answer than His Radiancy probably realized. Gaudi swallowed against sudden nerves. "My lord, although there are similarities, the rituals vary considerably from family to family, with further variations between the islands. Would your lordship be good enough to tell me what family is receiving a new member, and where the wedding to which you are invited is to be held?" As soon as he spoke, he realized his error. "Forgive me, my lord, I assumed that you have received such an invitation." His Radiancy looked at him for a long moment without speaking. His lips were quirked in private amusement. Gaudi did not think it was primarily directed at him, but had to work not to squirm under the lying gaze. Finally, His Radiancy said reflectively,
"I see that gossip does not travel quite as quickly in the palace as I had thought."
He looked away from Gaudi again, toward the horizon, and said,
"You might say I have received an invitation, yes, but to participate in such a ceremony rather than to observe."
For a moment, the words made no sense to Gaudi. Why would His Radiancy participate in a...
Oh!
Gaudi took a sip of tea to cover his speechlessness, and choked on it as the final puzzle piece fell into place.
"Pardon me, my lord," he gasped out between coughs.
His Radiancy placed one hand over what was definitely a smile.
"Take your time, Sayo Van Wen," he said,
And then quietly,
"Or perhaps under the circumstances, I might call you Gaudi."
The circumstances. The circumstance that, world-shatteringly impossible as the idea was, the last emperor, the lord of rising stars, the sun on earth, was engaged to marry Uncle Kip, and had just offered, tentatively, to call him by his first name, because he was going to marry his uncle, because he was going to be family. No etiquette Gaudi knew from either culture was adequate to this. But he had just been shown an astonishing degree of favor, and it would not help anything to continue to sit there gaping like a landed fish. He swallowed and said, "Thank you, my lord. I am honored, and..." He took a deep breath. "May I offer you my sincere congratulations and wishes for your happiness?" His Radiancy inclined his head.
"I thank you."
"And so, as you have discerned," His Radiancy continued,
"I am asking about the traditions of the Ndangs of Loa Loa, who live in Guozhou City. I wish to prepare for whatever may be expected of me."
There was something in his manner, a discordant note, Gaudi couldn't quite identify but needed to respond to, rather than answering only the questions asked aloud. "My lord, forgive me, but..." The court-trained part of Gaudi's brain was screaming at him, asking him what he was thinking to contradict his Radiancy like this, but he ignored it. "Surely Uncle Kip, the family, no one could expect you to participate in any..." "Primitive hinterland rituals," his brain supplied in a sneering aristocratic accent. "Any traditions that you are not comfortable with. I am certain no one would be surprised by an Ostondalan wedding."
"They may not expect it of me," said His Radiancy, with steel in his voice, "but I expect better of myself. I do not wish to marry him as the emperor and demand all to give way to me. If I am able to be the..."
He paused and swallowed.
"The husband of the Tana, I will do my best to fit into his life and his culture, and for this, I ask your assistance."
Gaudi looked at him, really looked at him, for what felt like the first time. His Radiancy appeared very far indeed from serene. He looked elated, terrified, determined. He looked like a man in love. In love with Uncle Kip, and Uncle Kip is in love with the last emperor. Uncle Kip asked the last emperor to marry him. Saving the boggling for later, Gaudi silently admonished himself. His Radiancy needed him now.
"Your understanding is recent, then?"
he asked, and noticed too late that his tone was not at all proper for addressing the emperor. It was too gentle, a tone he would use to a friend, an equal who sat before him in a similar state of emotional upheaval. His Radiancy did not appear to notice. He huffed a laugh.
"Extremely recent, yes. To be honest, I am not certain he will not come to his senses at some point."
He passed a hand over his forehead.
"I do not know what he expects. He only mentioned making a wedding a fela. But I want to be prepared for anything he asks of me."
"My lord." Gaudi did not know what to think about this astonishing vulnerability that His Radiancy was permitting him to see, but he had an answer for that. "Surely you cannot think he would change his mind. Anyone can see that you are all the world to him." His Radiancy shut his eyes briefly at that, and Gaudi's heart twisted at the sight.
"No, he wouldn't change his mind," His Radiancy said quietly. "But I do not want him to regret his choice either."
He looked at Gaudi, then, and said with deliberate, brisk cheer,
"But we have strayed from the topic. Tell me about the wedding ceremony."
Gaudi obeyed. "As you know, my lord, the Ndangs are those who hold the fire. Therefore, Ndang weddings center on fire. For this reason, they are generally held on the beach or on a dock, so that the lighting ember may be disposed of without, going to the lengths Uncle Kip did in the Regency ceremony. His Radiancy grinned at that. It has been some time since I attended a family wedding, my lord, but as I recall, the Tana presents the pair with an ember, and they use it to light a new fire together. A public declaration is made over the fire, and then the family welcomes the couple through dance. That is the basic structure of the ritual.
Is there no benediction?
If a shaman is present, they will usually offer a blessing, my lord, or the clergy of another god that the couple venerates may do so. This is common when a Velio marries an islander, as a gesture to the newcomer's own traditions. Gaudi paused and dared. The involvement of your lordship may present an interesting problem in that respect.
Hmm.
His Radiancy's tone invited no further comment on his official divine status.
I do not think that will be a concern.
He gestured at Gaudi to continue. And then, my lord, there are the dances. But his Radiancy held up a hand before he could explain the dances.
Tell me first about the wedding of Fela, since that was the brief I was given. How do they differ from the Ifela your uncle already has?
Wedding Ifela can contain shells and stones, like most usual Ifela. However, they are primarily made of more ephemeral materials. Flowers are very common, or leaves. As well, someone might make ornaments of folded or cut paper, or woven grass, or even dough baked hard. The purpose is to show off one's individual creativity, and make something of significance, both for the giver and the recipient.
Might one use feathers?
His Radiancy asked. Gaudi nodded. Certainly, my lord, if they are not too large.
And flowers. Do any flowers carry particular meanings in the Vangavieve?
They were wandering quite far outside Gaudi's expertise now, but he continued gamely. Nothing that I can think of, my lord, beyond the obvious. One would wish to choose flowers with a pleasant scent, and naturally nothing poisonous. Oh, your lordship might not be aware that Uncle Kip is allergic to gardenias.
That is very good to know. So, what is done with the Ifela?
When the couple meet, when they are brought by their friends to the wedding site, they present their Ifela to each other. There is generally a great deal of comment, some teasing, from their friends about the Ifela, their design, how they are received. They are meant to be a surprise, you see, and it can be a matter of friendly competition.
Very good, said his Radiancy. I think I can manage something respectable. Now the dances. Tell me about those.
My lord, the dances for a wedding are a combination of wedding dances that all the community can dance, and dances specific to the family. You have, of course, witnessed Aoteke Tetana, the great fire dance. But there are a number of lesser fire dances that many more people than Uncle Tovo and Uncle Kip know. None of them are over the fire, but all involve fire in some form. For the wedding dances, the couple and family dance around the bonfire that the couple previously lit. There are specific roles in the dances for each member of the couple as they perform their desire to belong to the family, and for the matriarch and elders to welcome them in.
I see, said his Radiancy. And you do not know these dances, do you?
No, my lord, Gaudi admitted. I hold the Vanwen dances, not the Mdang. His Radiancy looked more distant than he had since the interview began, and almost grim around the mouth.
So, I suppose, there is no one in Solara who can teach me my role in these dances, other than my betrothed.
There again was that flat note, the one that plucked at Gaudi's heart. My lord, Gaudi gathered up his courage. May I speak frankly? His Radiancy nodded. Your desire to learn all about our culture is admirable, but if I may say so, my lord, you are not a stranger to the Vangavieve or to our family. It's not only Uncle Kip or myself. My mother, my aunts and uncles, my Uncle Tovo, even my grandmother have all come to love you. There are so many people who will be delighted to welcome you and teach you everything you wish to learn. You don't need to do this alone." His Radiancy, looking out of the balcony again, did not speak for a long moment. Then, finally, he turned to look at Gaudi, who realized with astonishment that His Radiancy's eyes were shining with tears. He rose, and when Gaudi followed, reached out carefully to grip Gaudi's upper arms. Gaudi held very still under the touch, willing his heart to slow. It was safe now. He knew it was safe. "Gaudi, I did not intend to ask you for comfort, and I should not have done so. And yet, I appreciate your words very much. I will not abuse your sensibilities by asking you to call me uncle now, but I hope one day you will consider it. I would be very happy to have you as a nephew." Gaudi felt his own eyes sting with unexpected tears. He was, suddenly, fiercely glad that His Radiancy had Uncle Kip to love him, would soon be embraced by the loud, unruly, chaotic mass of the Mdang family. He deserved people around him who did not serve him, who did not need to wait on his hesitant gestures toward connection. Gaudi hoped, one day, he could be one of them. "My lord, gladly. I look forward to it." He did, suddenly and intensely. He wanted this conflict between modes of etiquette to be gone, so that he could welcome His Radiancy as an uncle, as His Radiancy so clearly wanted as well. Not yet, but soon. His Radiancy smiled, more brilliantly than he had since the interview began. "I know that Lady Aurelia has come to rely upon you, to her credit, but I do hope that you will take the time to come see us married." "My lord," Gaudi said, with perfect sincerity, "I wouldn't miss it for anything." The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And if you've enjoyed the Podfic, you're welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.